And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Glory to God. Now, one of the major problems of churchgoers is familiarity. They've been in church too long that the stories of the Bible no longer stir them any longer. They've heard church lingua, church stories, and sometimes they even lose the weight of what God is trying to say, and they lose the gravity of what God did. Are you getting me? Death for a normal man is the last bus stop. Have you ever say, when somebody was going through maybe a medical procedure in the hospital and they come out and just say, you know what, we lost him. You can see on their face that this is it. Let me tell you something. Death is one thing that is common to, see, all men, whether rich or poor, are you getting me? You see that death, it's a leveler. That's why all religions have tried to say something about it. But only Christianity has the key. So I want to begin by telling you that resurrection is the doctrine of the Christian faith. I did not say a doctrine. It is the doctrine. If you remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every other doctrine falls like a pack of cards. And I'm going to show you. Christianity simply says that Jesus Christ defeated death when he came out of the tomb alive. And he alone has solved the issue of death. And so because of Jesus, death has been defeated. And we Christians, because we are in Christ, we get to participate in that victory. Are you with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding here today. The hearts of everyone hearing me is stirred to listen to you today in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of your word spark a new zeal towards God in the name of Jesus. And let your people live here with testimonies in the name of Jesus. So I said, Christianity simply says Jesus has defeated death when he came out of the tomb alive. And he alone has solved the issue of death. And because we are in him, we participate in that victory. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen. So before we can deal with the subject of resurrection, you have to deal with the fact that Jesus died. Now, I'm not going to assume that everybody agrees that Jesus died, because we are living in a day where people question everything. Some people don't even, they think the Bible is a fluke. Some people even say that the Bible was put together to manipulate people. Have you heard things like that? All kinds of things. You know, I was talking to a young guy one day, he's a teenager, 17 year old, and I told him, his father is a pastor, ironically. And I told him, I want you to take the Lord serious. He said, well, I need to take someone, I'm sure that the things they said about him is true. I said, why do you say that? He said, I can agree Jesus died, but are you sure he resurrected? He said, can you think about that thing? Did he really resurrect? So what? This was a young guy talking to me. A Nigerian, no. I'm not talking to someone about someone in the U.S. A Nigerian. He said, I've been thinking about it. What if he just fainted? Are you what I'm saying? And I said, so are you telling me you don't believe in the resurrection? I said, well, maybe for now I don't believe. You see, he's on school, that's why. Our faith is an intelligent faith. The faith of the Christian faith is not a blind faith. In fact, Lee Strobel, a journalist that an atheist journalist who later converted to become a Christian. When he began to investigate Christianity, he said, the evidence for Christ's resurrection can be taken to any modern day court and you will win hands down. So, before you can deal with the subject of resurrection, you have to deal with the fact that there was a death. Jesus died in a very public and horrible manner. And we know that he was dead, both from the sacred and secular records. Are you with me? Jesus was not swooned, as many suggest. There's something called the swoon theory, that Jesus was swooned. That swoon meaning he fainted, he didn't really die. As some critics suggest, Jesus actually died. Now, you need to understand that the Jews, please, are you with me? Some of you may not need this, but as a pastor, I know we have a global audience, and I know that there are people, you may need it one day. There are people that may ask you this question one day. So listen. The Jews were very careful not to have their Saturday Sabbath defied or defiled with dead bodies hanging on crosses. So even though their criminals were crucified by the Roman army or the Roman government, the Jews always ensured that those dead bodies were removed from the cross. Are you with me? To avoid any religious violence or religious riots, you know the way the Jews are, you are defiling the law of Moses. They will carry stones and start fighting. And so, the Jews were careful to have their Saturday Sabbath free of dead bodies hanging on crosses. And so the Romans knew that for us to have peace over this world that we have conquered, let's remove every dead. And they must ensure that the person was dead before they move him from the cross. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, also, before you say Jesus did not die, you need to consider that the Romans were expert killers. Who would have thought about crucifixion as a way of dealing with their prisoners? Only the Romans. If you watch movies a lot and you see what the Roman army looks like, who has watched Gladiator? The original, the first one and the second one. It's not up to Ito, but it's close. That's one of the closest you have there. Those guys were gruesome. They invented ways of killing people. Do you understand? Like the Roman whip, that whip they used to flog Jesus is not what is not koboko. It's not cane. I forgot. I would have brought the picture for you. It has three spikes. One has small balls that are very heavy. Have you seen those metals that when you carry them, they look small, but carry them first. So they are very small dumbbells attached to one of those whips. And around one of those whips are carrying hooks. And the final one is carrying spikes. So when they flog you, the aim is that the heaviest part is the one with the dumbbells. It will hit your body first and soften the place. By the time they give you 40, usually when they are done, you can gather at least a pound of flesh. Flesh would have come out from the body so much. That's how the Romans those kind of people. In fact, history has it on record that many of the prisoners that Rome executed did not even make it to the crucifixion. On their way there, as they were carrying the cross, they died. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? So Jesus died, but let's go on. So, one of the ways the Romans ensured that the person on their cross is dead was by breaking the legs. Are you following me? And even though I've heard about it before, I never really knew why they broke the legs of their prisoners until just recently. Now, when a person is being crucified, it will be difficult for the person to breathe because the hands are this way and the legs are this way. Just suspended above the ground. But if their legs are free to move, they can move their chest up a little bit, up and down a little bit by the moving of their legs. So that they can still survive a little while and breathe. Are you with me? And so, though they may have been scourged, they may have been nailed to the cross, but as long as they can still move their legs, they will be able to survive for some time. For some time. And so when the Romans wanted to hurry up the death process, they come and break the legs. Can you imagine these people? So when they break the legs, you can no longer move the legs. So the person will suffocate and die. But let's read about what happened to Jesus. John chapter 19 from verse 31. See, anybody who does not surrender to Christ for salvation, I don't know where you will put hope, you know. John chapter 19 from verse 31. The Bible says, can we have the scripture on the screen? Is it possible? Or I should just give you some time. Okay. The Bible says, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an high day. So they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, this is verse 32, and break the legs of the first. Can you read on with me? And the other which was crucified with him. Now everybody read verse 33 with a loud voice. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they break not his legs. Are you seeing this? So they saw that he was already dead. No need to break his legs. So guess what they did? To be sure he was dead. The Romans would not take chances. Because listen, remember when Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, and the Holy Ghost shook their prison gate and they came out of their prison. Gaius, the man who was keeping the prison, wanted to kill himself. And they were like, why? See, he knew that if the prisoners escaped under his watch, it is better he kills himself than to wait for what they would do to him before they kill him. Are you getting me? So, even though they saw he was dead, they checked again. Everybody see what happened in verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, if Jesus had been alive at that moment, bright arterial blood, meaning blood from the arteries, would have come out. I'm not a medical doctor, but I went to check this out. Are you with me? I'm told that the separation of blood from serum is one of the strongest legal proofs of death even today. Are you getting me? So Jesus was dead. If you pierce a corpse and blood and water comes out separately, he's gone. So Jesus died. But God raised him from the dead. God, see, can you say after me? God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Glory. Now, if you still doubt this, or if you doubt that God raised Jesus from the dead, there are some things you need to consider. Number one, the grave of Jesus was heavily guarded to ensure that he did not resurrect. Matthew 27 from verse 62 to 66. Are you with me? Matthew 27 from verse 62 to 66. Some of you will need this very soon when you travel to Canada or the United States or Australia and you meet those white folks and they start asking you those questions. You will be ready. Are you with me? our white brethren. Not white folks, our brethren. Amen. Because soon we'll have them even as pastors and disciples. Matthew 27 from verse 62, the Bible says, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Verse 63 saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure. So, you see these Jewish leaders, when they saw that Jesus was gathering a crowd, they were scared. And when they heard him say that he will rise again after 3 days, they wanted to ensure. Because listen, if that happened, if that happened to them, they would have been completely dumbfounded. And he did. Are you getting me? They wanted to kill that idea that Jesus rose at all. But they were wrong. In fact, they are trying to kill that idea, made his resurrection more sure. There was more proof for it. Are you with me? You will see that now. It says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. They knew that it's not about him dying. They knew that anybody could die, but not anybody can resurrect. Are you getting this? They knew that if for any reason he rose from the grave, you have begun something that cannot be stopped by human hands. So Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Now, if you read this in King James, you will not really get the point. But if you read it in New King James, it says you have your guard. The Roman guard usually consists of 16 soldiers, fully armed. Now, how this guard will operate, they will divide themselves into 4 groups. And every 6 hours, in a 24-hour period, every 6 hours, 2 would be in front, 4 will be in front, 4 will be behind, 4 will be by the side, 4 will be at the other side. So every 6 hours, they rotate themselves. One set to go and sleep, they will rotate themselves. Are you seeing how intense this was? Are you with me? Are you seeing how intense this protection was? And so, the grave was heavily guarded that to ensure that Jesus did not resurrect. So it must have been very surprising that the two Marys came on Sunday morning, came to the grave and did not see any soldier. Are you following me? I'm sure Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, when they came, their plan should have been to, maybe we will beg the soldiers. We'll just plead with them. And they will allow us just go and see the body. Embalm him a little bit. Are you getting this? But they came and saw no soldier. Now, do you think the soldiers just slept off or just said we are tired and walked away? Knowing what I just explained to you about if a prisoner is lost under the watch of a Roman soldier, what will happen? The soldiers saw something that made them flee. Yes. They saw something that made them flee. And guess what? They ran first to the chief priest to go and report themselves. See what we saw. So it's not like we did not do our job. See what we saw. And when they told the chief priest all that happened, they were scared. The soldiers were scared. Look at Matthew 28, verse 11. Matthew 28, verse 11. The Bible says, now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Are you seeing this? So when they told the chief priests all the things that they saw, the chief priest said, this one, So the chief priest arranged large money and gave to the soldiers. They gave large money unto the soldiers, verse 12, saying, or go and say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, because they knew what would happen, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. You know, of all the theories against the resurrection of Christ, this is the dumbest of them. Do you know why? If you say the disciples came by night and stole the body of Jesus away, if all were sleeping, how did you know who came? Are you getting this? If the disciples came by night and stole him away, and you said you were sleeping while they came, how did you know if you were sleeping? Secondly, if Jesus did not rise, why were the soldiers giving money to spread that foolish rumor? And if the body was stolen, why wasn't a search conducted? If the body was truly stolen, just go and do a search, get the body, put it in the streets. The evidence quenches our argument. But no search was conducted. Are you following this? Instead, a rumor was spread. Something else to consider. It is logically impossible for the disciples who ran away when Jesus was arrested to come and have the mind to steal the body of Jesus with 16 soldiers. I trust Peter. Peter, that a girl just told him, you are one of them, says, no, I've never seen him before. Me? I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. Ha! They say, is it not Peter? I'm tempted to do something. They say, no, be God, be that. He said, no, no, I don't know him. That Peter that was denying Jesus in the presence of a girl, you are saying Peter and the disciples. You know, people criticize Peter, but I salute Peter. At least he was close enough. He was following Jesus to see what will happen. All the other disciples, vamoose, disappeared. No trace. Are you getting me? You can criticize them, but have you ever been close to where human beings are carrying guns before? Do you know how it felt? Now think about those medieval times. People with masters of swords and spear, inventors of interesting ways of killing people. You don't play games. Are you with me? Do you know what it means to drive a 9-inch nail through a man's wrist? Do people think that it was his palm that Jesus was nailed to? Jesus was nailed on his wrist. If he was nailed on his palm, his body weight would pull him down. It was his wrist. That means the pain was on another level altogether. Are you with me? Somebody that has the mind to nail somebody like that, you want to go and challenge him? It is logically impossible for the disciples of Jesus who ran away when Jesus was arrested to come and steal the body. How would they face the Roman guard? In fact, okay, even if the soldiers were sleeping, which of course they were not, how would they roll the stone without waking the soldiers? Another thing to consider, all through history, no one Christian, even Christians who recanted Christianity, ever said Jesus did not rise. No one Christian in the first century ever said that. Even the Christians that out of fierce persecution and when they were about to kill them, they said, okay, I don't believe again. I'm not following that man again. But they never said he didn't rise. Also, something else to consider. The people that ran away because they were afraid all of a sudden became bold and started preaching. What did they see? What did Peter see? That the same timid Peter woke up and said, you know what? I'm going to preach Jesus. He preached about Jesus till he died and was killed for preaching about Jesus. He must have seen something beyond his normal reasoning. Are you with me? And finally, something to consider. He was seen of 500 people at once. Jesus was seen of 500 people at once. If you read the book, The Case for Christ, when
The journalist Lee Strobel went to meet the psychoanalyst to ask him that what if, ask her, that what if the sin of Jesus Christ was hallucination? She said that there is nothing like mass hallucination. People don't have hallucinations in mass. That if the people had a hallucination in mass, that would be a more greater miracle than the resurrection itself. That's what she said. That it's not possible for 500 people at once to be dreaming and seeing the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4. The Bible says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Can you say after me, Jesus rose from the dead? He rose from the grave! Glory! So what are the consequences of the resurrection? Because now, someone can hear all I just said and said, and so what? How is that my business? What does that have to do with me? I'm going to tell you now. What are the consequences of the resurrection? Number one, assurance. Say after me, assurance. Now, how are we sure that Jesus is the way to eternal life? How are we sure? Because throughout history, people before Jesus said they were the way. People after Jesus said they will show the way, that they will teach men how to get to God. Every one of those people died and they are still dead. How are we sure where they are? We don't know where they are. Are you getting me? Nobody can tell us about the afterlife except you can go there and come back. Are you getting me? Why should we trust the teachings of Jesus? Because he rose from the dead. Romans chapter 1 from verse 3 to 4. It says, concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, everybody read verse 4. And declared, 1, 2, 3, go. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of Jesus, by the resurrection from the dead. Are you with me? So, he was declared to be the Son of God with power because he rose from the dead. That means, how are we sure that Jesus was the one that really came from God? He rose. Are you with me? How are we sure that the things that he taught are true and are truth? He rose. Why should we trust his promises to us? He rose. Are you getting this? Say after me, assurance. Now look at Acts 17 from verse 30 to 31. Acts 17 from verse 30 to 31. The Bible says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. You know what? Can we all read this verse together? Verses 30 to 31. Let's read it together. To repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. So, Jesus is the assurance that there is judgment coming for the world. Jesus is the assurance that anyone who be, are you with me? The raising of Jesus from the dead is the assurance that anyone who believes in him will be saved at that judgment. Are you getting this? Him being raised from the dead is the assurance that everything he taught is true and is truth. Are you getting this? Him being raised from the dead, are you? See, if Jesus says, I'm going to die for your sins, how are we sure that the death really paid for our sins? It was because he rose from the dead, we can now believe that, oh, that means what you said you would do, you actually did. Are you getting this? He's the, that that raising from the dead, him being raised from the dead, is the assurance of all our teachings in the Christian faith. See, that is why Christianity is not just a set of teachings put together. It's not, see, why will you trust the teachings of the Bible? Jesus rose. Are you getting this? Him being raised from the dead was the final test that if all he has been saying since is the truth. So after me, I have assurance. Our faith is not blind, though. Our master conquered death. He conquered death. Yes, he did. So, the second consequence of his being raised from the dead, the second consequence of Jesus being raised from the dead is the new birth. Now, pay attention because I have to explain some things. Some of you will notice I'm calmer today because I want you to just get it. I want you to get it. This is a foundational teaching in the Christian faith. There are many people who play with church. They think what we are doing is just... may I have my own religion? You have your own. Must you convince me to... Must I leave my own to now join your own? No. Jesus being raised from the dead is the assurance that day you find out that your own no be am. Are you getting me? Jesus being raised from the dead is the assurance that he is the way. No one cometh unto the Father but by him. Are you with me? 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. So we are talking about the new birth. We have talked about assurance now, the new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now you didn't end it well. I need a resounding glory. I need a resounding glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, because he rose from the dead, we can now be born again. Yes. So you see verse 23 of this same chapter, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. See, can you tell your neighbor, before I go on, the reason why we are born again, the reason why men can be born again, was because, or is because, Jesus rose from the dead. Now, to explain more, when Jesus rose from the grave, God raised him up as a new creature. Many people don't understand this. Pastor Ekene tried to talk about it a little bit last week Sunday. And I said, okay, today will be a good time to buttress this. When Jesus rose from the grave, he rose from the grave as a new creature. That's what the Bible teaches. So, if Jesus rises from the grave as a new creature, therefore everyone who believes in him or everyone who comes to him becomes a new creature. Do you get that? 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 15. The Bible says, and that he died for all. We're going to read it slowly because this is where the answer is. 2 Corinthians 15, chapter 5 from verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. The Bible says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Some of you are not reading. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Stop. What is he saying? He's saying that after Christ died and rose again, you don't look at men from how they are naturally or physically. He says, even Christ, you don't look at him from how he was naturally and physically. Are you getting this? Are you following me? He says, you may have known Christ when he was alive, oh, but after he died and resurrected, you don't know him again. He has become different. Are you getting this? After he died and resurrected, he has entered into a new dimension, a new breed. Actually, that's where we got the name from. He has become a new breed. So after he died and resurrected, God raised him as a new creature. You know, years ago, I did a teaching and I called that process that God changed Jesus from sin into righteousness, transmutation. Because when he died, he took all your sins and paid for them and then went to hell. But how is it possible that, okay, if he took my sins and the Bible says, Bible even says he was made sin, at what point did he become righteousness? Because if he was made sin, did he remain sin? Are you getting this? If Jesus Christ was made sin for me, did he stay as sin for me? Are you telling me that while he's in heaven right now, he will still sin? No, he's not. God transmutated him. And by the time God was done, in raising him from the dead, in that transmutation, he was born anew. And I'm going to show you in the Bible. But let's finish this first. It says, wherefore henceforth, know we no man, we don't know men after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Verse 17, everybody. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So, are you seeing why that therefore is there? You know, like I tell you, whenever you see therefore, you have to stop and know what it is there for. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why is it that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? Because Christ has become a new creature.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. So in the resurrection, they became a different breed, a new creature. Now, if you are still arguing with this, look at Acts 13, verse 32 to 33. So the possibility of us becoming new was because he rose. So after I'm a new creature. Because Jesus rose from the grave. I have put my faith in him. Therefore, I become new. Glory. Acts 13, verse 32 to 33. The Bible says, Acts 13, 32 to 33. Everybody, read the loud voice and read carefully. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, verse 33, God had fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That means when the book of Psalms, actually, this is Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 9 that they are quoting. When the prophet was saying, this day have I begotten thee, he was not talking about when Jesus was born. We are seeing the explanation of that verse now. He's saying, this day have I begotten thee. So, in the context of have I begotten thee, he was saying that when Christ was raised from the dead, God gave birth to a new child. So, he became a new creature so that you and I will become a new creature. And finally, what is the consequence of the resurrection? It gives us hope. Do you know that song? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can't hear your voice. Okay, I'll take a key higher. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives. Don't worry, find the key. We'll sing that song again. He gives us hope. Hope in this world and hope in the life to come. Let me start with hope in the life to come. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So that means in this life we have hope in Christ, but if our hope in Christ is in this life alone, we are most miserable. Are you getting this? Now, next week Sunday, we're going to talk more about this hope of eternal life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 14. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Are you seeing this? So, that's why, remember when we read 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul said, he was seen of above 500 people and the greater part are asleep. For the believer, death is sleep. Are you getting this? Remember when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said, I go to wake him from sleep. That means there is a heavenly consciousness that death is just sleep. The man in Christ will live forever. Hey, glory to God. Next week, Sunday, our eternal hope. But well, let's talk about our present hope. See, we have hope in Christ though. Because of Jesus, we don't face life the way the ordinary man faces life. We face life with hope. The natural man, when he sees death is the final bus stop, but not with Jesus. Are you getting this? Remember when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the grave? What did he say in John 11 verse 25? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. For some people, resurrection can be an event, but for Jesus, he is resurrection. Resurrection is a person. Are you with me? Resurrection is a person. It is domiciled in a person. That's why he told her, you know, when she said he will rise on the last day, he said, don't worry. Even if you are waiting for last day, I can bring the last day to today. Are you getting this? That means, even though we have a hope of eternal life, we can begin to live in the blessings of the eternal life now. You know, resurrection says your mistakes are not final. Listen. Resurrection says no matter how bad it is, as long as Jesus is involved, it is not final. It is not final. See, you need to learn this, so because some of you just you are planning things to go in a certain way. You are planning your life to go in a certain way. All of a sudden, something happens, and it seems like your life just scatters, and you're like, "Where will I begin from?" Oh, with Jesus, you can begin from anywhere. Oh yes, right from where you are, you can begin. Remember when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in verse 21 of John 11? What did Martha tell him? He said, "If you were here, our brother would not have died." You know, sometimes you are like, if I would have done this like this, if I just did it like this, if I just did it like this, this would not have happened. If I did not do it, if I just did it like this, I wish I just did it like this. But he said, don't worry. Even if you are not able to do it like this, I am the resurrection. Even if you were dead, I can raise it back up. For Jesus, he says, there is hope for a tree. That even if you are cut off at the scent of water, hey, you will spring forth and board. Because he's the resurrection. He deals in bringing dead things back to life. No wonder the Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, he will quicken your mortal body. Do you know why that verse is important? When we talk about resurrection, people keep thinking about when we are going to get a new body when Christ comes. But he's telling you that even right now, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he can quicken natural things. He can quicken your mortal body. He can bring back the business to life. He can quicken your body. That sickness will not overround your body. I don't know if you're listening to what I'm saying. The doctor told you it's over with your body, but he can quicken it. Jump on your feet. If the same spirit shout glory, say to me, I have hope, I have hope, I have hope, I have hope, I have hope. You see, I am 35, I am 50. What is my life going to look like? Eh? Abraham was 75. God still said, I will show you a great land. I will make your name great. 75. God wasn't telling a man, I will make you great. With God, resurrection is his personality. It gives us hope.
My life is worth a living just because he lives.